Today is the ninth day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back around the global campfire. I'm Brian, and it's great to be here with you today. As we do what we do every single day, gather together, and we'll pick up where we left off. We've committed ourselves to a year on the same ship together, a year of our lives, and a year to spend through the entire Bible day by day, step by step, and I'm glad that we can be together today for the next step, which leads us into the book of 1 Chronicles, and we're nearing the end of the genealogies. We should exit those pretty much tomorrow. Today, 1 Chronicles chapters 7 and 8. The sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron, four in all. The sons of Tola were Uzi, Rephaiah, Jeriah, Jemai, Ibsam, and Samuel, heads of their father's houses. In the days of David, the number of powerful warriors written in the genealogies of the family of Tola was 22,600. The son of Uzi was Izrahiah. The sons of Izrahiah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishia, five. All of them had men. According to the genealogical records of their father's houses, because they had many wives and sons, they had with them 36,000 men in divisions available for battle. Their brothers, among all the families of Issachar, powerful warriors who were listed in the genealogy, were 87,000 in all. The sons of Benjamin were Bela, Becher, and Jediel, three in all. The sons of Bela were Ezbon, Uzi, Uzziel, Jeremoth, and Iri, five, all heads of their father's houses. Their powerful warriors listed in the genealogical records were 22,034. The sons of Becher were Zemira, Joash, Eleazar, Elioni, Omri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Elamet. All these were the sons of Becher. They were listed in the genealogical records as heads of their father's houses, along with 20,200 powerful warriors. The son of Jediel was Bilhan. The sons of Bilhan were Jush, Benjamin, Ehud, Canaanah, Zetan, Tarshish, and Ahashihar. All these were sons of Jediel, the heads of their father's houses, listed along with 17,200 powerful warriors, who were able to go out to war with the army. Shupim and Hupim were the sons of Ir. The Hushim were the sons of Ahur. The sons of Naphtali were Jazio, Guni, Jazer, Shalum. They were the grandsons of Bilhah. The first son of Manasseh was Azriel, born to his Aramean concubine. She also gave birth to Machir, the father of Gilead. Machir took a wife from Hupim and Shupim. His sister's name was Maakah. The name of Manasseh's second son was Zelophehad. But Zelophehad had only daughters. Maakah, the wife of Machir, gave birth to a son, and she named him Peresh. The name of his brother was Sheresh, and his sons were Ulam and Rekem. The son of Ulam was Bedan. These were the sons of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh. His sister Hamoleket gave birth to Ishdod, Abiezar, and Mala. The sons of Shemaida were Ahian, Shechem, Likhi, and Anayim. The descendants of Ephraim were Shutelah, his son Bered, his son Tehath, his son Eliada, his son Tehath, his son Zabad, his son Shutelah, and also Azer and Eliad. These two were killed by the native men of Gath, because they came down to take away their livestock. Ephraim, their father, mourned many days, and his brothers came to comfort him. He went to his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to a son, and he named him Beriah. because there was trouble with his house. His daughter was Shira, who built Lower and Upper Beth Haran and Uzen Shira. Rifa was his son, and Reshef his son, and Tela his son, Tayan his son, Ladan his son, Amayud his son, Elishama his son, Nun his son, and Joshua his son. Their possessions and settlements were Bethel and its towns, and Naaran on the east, and Gezer on the west with its towns, also Shechem and its towns, as far as Ayah and its towns. Along the borders of the people of Manasseh they received Beth Shean and its towns, Taanach and its towns, Megiddo and its towns, and Dor and its towns. The descendants of Joseph, the son of Israel, lived in these towns. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah. Sira was their sister. The sons of Beriah were Heber and Malkiel, who was the father of Bitzraeth. Heber became the father of Japhlet, Shomer, Hotham, and their sister Shua. The sons of Japhlet were Pesach, Bimhal, and Ashvath. These are the sons of Japhlet. The sons of Shamer were Ahi, Roga, Jahuba, and Aram. The sons of his brother Hinnom were Zophah, Imnah, Shilesh, and Amal. The sons of Zophah were Sua, Harnifer, Shual, Biri, Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shammah, Shilishah, Ithran, and Beerah. The sons of Jether were Japuna, Pispah, and Arah. The sons of Ula were Arah, Haniel, and Ridziah. All these were the sons of Asher, heads of the houses of their fathers, elite soldiers, powerful warriors, heads of the tribal leaders. The number of them listed in the genealogies for service in war was 26,000 men. Benjamin became the father of Bela, his firstborn, Ashbel the second, Ahara the third, Noah the fourth, and Rapha the fifth. Bela had sons, Adar, Gira, Abiud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gira, Shefufan, and Haram. These are the sons of Ehud. They are the heads of fathers' households for the inhabitants of Geba, who were exiled to Manaath, namely Naaman, Ahijah, and Gira, who led them into exile, and he became the father of Uzzah and Ahihud. Shaaraim became a father in the territory of Moab after he had sent away his wives Hushim and Beara. By his wife Hodesh, he became the father of Jobab, Zibiah, Misha, Malcolm, Juz, Shekiah, and Mirmah. These were his sons, heads of the houses of their fathers. By Hushim he became the father of Abitub and Elpael. The sons of Elpael were Eber, Mishum, and Shemed, who built Ono and Lod with its towns. Also, Beriah and Shema, who were heads of houses of the fathers of the inhabitants of Aijalon. They put to flight the inhabitants of Gath. Also Ahio, Sheshach, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpa, Joah, who were the sons of Beriah. Also Zebediah, Meshulam, Hizki, Haber, Ishmarai, Isliah, Jobab, the sons of Elpael. Also Jachim, Zikri, Zabdi, Elianai, Zilatai, Elio, Adiah, Beriah, Shimrath, the sons of Shimei. Also Ishpan, Haber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam, Antothijah, Iphdeah, Penuel, the sons of Sheshach. Also, Shamsherai, Sheahira, Ataliah, Jearashiah, Elijah, Zikri, and the sons of Jeroham. These were heads of fathers' households throughout their generations, head men. These lived in Jerusalem. Jael, the father of Gibeon, whose wife's name was Maacah, lived in Gibeon with his firstborn son, Abdon. Other sons were Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gedor, Ahio, and Zechar. Miklot became the father of Shimeah. They also lived near their brothers in Jerusalem with their brothers. Ner became the father of Kish. Kish became the father of Saul. Saul became the father of Jonathan, Melchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. The son of Jonathan was Merib-Baal. Merib-Baal became the father of Micah. The sons of Micah were Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz became the father of Jehoiada. Jehoiada became the father of Elamet, Esmavet, and Zimri. Zimri became the father of Moza. Moza became the father of Benaiah. Rapha was his son, Eliasa his son, and Azel his son. Azel had six sons whose names are Azrikam, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheariah, Obadiah, and Hanan. All these were the sons of Azel. The sons of Eshek, his brother, were Ulam, his firstborn, Jush, his second, and Eliphelet, his third. The sons of Ulam were powerful warriors who were archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150. All these were the descendants of Benjamin. Acts 27, 1 through 20. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius of the Imperial Regiment. After boarding a ship from Adrytium, which was going to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and allowed him to go to his friends to receive their care. From there, we put out to sea and sailed on the sheltered side of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. We crossed the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia and landed at Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy, and he put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. Since the wind did not permit us to go further, we sailed on the sheltered side of Crete off Salmone. With difficulty, we sailed along its coast and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the city of Lycia. Since so much time had passed and the voyage was now dangerous, because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, "Men, it looks to me as if the voyage is going to end with disaster and great loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and the owner of the ship than to what Paul was saying. Since that harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, hoping somehow to reach Phoenix and winter there. Phoenix is a harbor on Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they could carry out their plan. They raised the anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But before long, a hurricane-like wind called the Northeaster rushed down from the island. Since the ship was caught in it and could not head into the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along. As we sailed on the sheltered side of a small island called Cauda, we were barely able to secure the skiff. After hoisting it on board, the men tied ropes around the ship to reinforce it. Then, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and in this way were driven along. Because we were tossed around so violently by the storm, the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's gear overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the violent storm kept pressing down on us, finally, all hope that we would be saved was disappearing. Psalm 7. The Slandered Saint. A Shigeon by David, which he sang to the Lord because of the words of Cush from the tribe of Benjamin. O Lord my God, in you I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and deliver me. Otherwise, like a lion, they will tear me apart. They will drag me away with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is injustice in my hands, if I have done evil to anyone who is at peace with me, or if I have robbed my foe for no reason, then let an enemy pursue my life and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make my glory dwell in the dust. Stand up, O Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the fury of my foes. Awake for me. You have commanded justice. A crowd of peoples surrounds you. Turn against them from on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Acquit me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity which is in me. The evil of the wicked will come to an end, but you will establish the righteous. You search minds and hearts, O righteous God. My shield is God who saves the upright in heart. God the judge is righteous, but he is a God who expresses his wrath every day. If he does not relent, the Lord will sharpen his sword. He has bent his bow and will string it. He prepares his deadly weapons. He will make his arrows flames. Yes, whoever conceives evil and is pregnant with trouble will give birth to disappointment. He digs a pit and scoops it out, and he will fall into the hole he has made. The trouble he causes comes back on his own head. His violence comes down on top of his own skull. I will thank the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will make music to the name of the Lord Most High. Proverbs 18:22. The man who finds a wife finds a good thing, and he obtains favor from the Lord. Okay, so we've been watching Paul pretty much through the entire second half of the book of Acts, and so we've been traveling with Paul, getting to know Paul. We'll really get to know Paul through his writings, but we're kind of getting to observe Paul and get basically a glimpse of his character and some of his makeup and some of his determination. And so we've also seen that he uses every opportunity, like he is completely devoted to this cause of the Jesus that he met on the road to Damascus. So everywhere that he has opportunity, he shares his story and the good news about Jesus. And that has been happening lately since his arrest in Jerusalem with the most influential people in his world. And he ultimately appealed his case to Caesar as a Roman citizen. And so rather than being transported back to Jerusalem to be tried among people that swore to kill him, like to literally walk into an assassination, in today's reading, Paul sets sail from Caesarea Maritima, which still exists today. The harbor that Paul sailed from exists today, actually is being completely reconstructed. And it's amazing. This is where Paul left and sails for Rome, as we read about today, in the custody of Julius, a captain of the Imperial Regiment. And the ship, as was the case in those days, was scheduled to make several stops along the way. And at the port in Myra, Paul was transferred to another ship heading for Italy. Unfortunately, the weather was not cooperating at all, and it became clear that they would need to find a port for the winter. They were not going to make it to Rome before the winter. So they're on the island of Crete in a place called Fair Havens. Man, this place exists on the south of Crete. And, well, it's in the, it's in, I mean, we visited there just last fall. And so the videos shot from Fair Havens on the island of Crete, you can see them in today's reading. This is where we've come to today. And so you can see it for yourself. It's there Paul speaks prophetically. He sees the dangers if they continue the journey. But those who are guarding him, they're not listening. And you can see why. Like, the centurion making the call here, he's listening to the ship's owner and the ship's captain. And so the idea here is, this is the owner of... Like, if he's going to risk the ship, if the captain and the owner of the ship are willing to take this risk, then these are experienced seamen. So they set sail, and pretty quickly, they are in a storm so severe that the sun and stars are blotted out, and pretty soon, they're being carried away by the storm. They have no control, and are losing all hope. Then in our reading from Psalms today, man, some imagery that is stark, really, really stark. The wicked conceive evil and are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. That is, I mean, that language for how deception comes into the world, how deception finds its way into your life and into my life. The imagery is very provocative. Conception is a very intimate act, as is pregnancy, as is birth. So in this passage, what is being revealed poetically is how wickedness privately and intimately is conceived, which incubates trouble and grows it, and eventually gives birth to lies and deception, which is scary stuff to be fooling around with. I mean, to be being intimate with, as it were. And he goes on to show what, like, how that plays out. They end up digging a pit to trap others, and then they fall into it themselves. The trouble that they make for others falls back on them. The violence or evil that they plan falls on their own heads. In other words, if you're going to conceive evil and be pregnant with it and give birth to lies and deception, then you have to realize that the result will be your own entrapment. So it would be wise to remember this passage the next time that we're fabricating a false reality and we hear it coming out of our mouths, or that we're assuming something that we don't know in our thoughts and creating a false reality for ourselves. Only the truth will lead to freedom. And so, Spirit of Truth, as we often do, we seek that you might lead us into all truth. And you are. We seek to be aware and awake and alert and walking in that direction intentionally, knowing that you will guide us, and knowing when we're stepping into big or small deceptions, and knowing that those only lead to shame and lies and deception and a false reality. And it is exactly that we are walking away from, into the freedom of the truth, where there isn't anything to hide, where there isn't the shame. Holy Spirit, come, lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well. Grab those, stay up to date, stay connected. There's plenty of reasons. I just talked about Fair Havens and Crete and these places that they are sailing, and we're going to continue this journey because Paul has to make his way to Rome, and we'll be following that. But we'll be able to see all these stops each day that we read it, in the day's reading in the app. So watch out for that. It really makes it come to life. I mean, actually walking these steps profoundly put things into perspective for me. Like how wide and vast these journeys were and are, especially without modern technology, and how they navigated. It's profoundly insightful. So make sure to check that out. While you're checking things out, check out the Daily Audio Bible Shop. There are resources there for the journey that we are on, including the first edition of Spiritual Connection Cards, Conversation Starters with God. Man, the feedback has been profound. They've been on back order. They still are. We're waiting for that next shipment to arrive. But you can definitely grab some packs of those. We'll get them sent out as soon as they come in. Check out Wind Farm, the Wind Farm coffee and tea that we roast fresh and send to you every month or however much you want. This is, something that I drink, something that Jill and I both drink every day. Sometimes I get on a tea kick, but mostly it's coffee. And mostly it's here in my clean canteen every day. If you sign up for an annual subscription, pay for an annual subscription to the coffee, we will send you a very exclusive clean canteen, which is what I have been drinking my coffee out of for well over a decade. When I found these, and I mean, they're a very, very reputable brand, very, very good people that we are glad to strategically partner with, but yeah, we'll send you one of those for free. So you can check that all out in the Daily Audio Bible Shop, in the coffee and tea section. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you deeply, deeply and humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, Dab family. I have been a listener since day one. Brian, thank you and your family and everyone in the background for what you do. I've seen this family grow and your commentary get better and better every year, and we are all blessed by it. I'm calling today. I just been hearing so many prayer requests and praises, and just want everyone to know that I pray for those prayer requests as they come in, and it seems like a lot of us are praying for financial help right now. I just recently left a job and went to work at another company, making about half as much income, but honestly, just my well-being psychologically just was suffering in the other job, so you know, you've got to make changes. But I also wanted to thank people like Daniel Johnson Jr. I know you've called in with prayer requests, and just, you know, remind you what a blessing you've been to me over the years. And Blind Tony, it was great to hear another poem from you just a few days ago. And so many others that call in faithfully and encourage all of us. I just wanted to say thank you. God bless all and have a wonderful day.
Morning Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in, and I apologize in not calling in more often, but I just am so thankful for the people who have been, and I want to lift up those in need, like Lisa the Encourager, who's dealing with breast cancer, and Billy from the Trinity Stone, who's got prostate cancer, and Hands to Heaven's brother-in-law, who's got cancer of the throat, and I've got a friend, Christian, who has cancer in the throat, Lord. You know the devastation and the pain that these people are experiencing, Lord. We praise you, God, that you will heal them, and you will give them peace, that you will give wisdom to their doctors and nurses and staff, and you will comfort them, Lord Jesus. In your holy and precious name we pray. Lord, I'd also like to pray for all those who are having trouble with their spouses and there's mental illness going on in them. You know the needs of all these who are dealing with spouses who have issues, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would give them your patience and your wisdom. You'd bring in good counseling to them that they can get the help they need so they can handle those in their family that they're trying to love or trying to help. There is such a great need for Christian counseling, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you were providing them. Lastly, I'd like to just say I'm praying for all of you in the background. I limited and calling out specific people, but we are praying. And as it says in God's word, though I'm surrounded by troubles, our God will preserve us against the anger of our enemies. He will clench his fist against our angry enemies. His power will save us. The Lord will work out his plans for our life and for his faithful love endures in forever. So Lord, we thank you for what you're doing behind the scenes, and we praise you, God. May you touch each one of these people's hearts and minds, and that they may know the love you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you all. Love you. Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Candace from Oregon. I'm sitting in the parking lot of my grandchildren's church where they're having vacation Bible school. They live an hour and a half away from me. Lord, I pray for my two grandkids that are here today and all the kids this summer that do Bible school. I pray that your word would be planted deep into their hearts and that they would just come to praise and worship you like never before and come into a deep relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for everybody who's providing these Bible schools this summer. Would you give them strength and encouragement and inspiration, and may their efforts bear fruit for your kingdom, Lord, and for your honor and glory, in Jesus' name.
Dear Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors, we need to be lifting up Colorado because almost the entirety of the southern half of the state is either on fire, close to a fire, or squished in between multiple fires. So the best thing we can do is to pray for cool weather and no wind, as that's what helps the firefighters the most. I was trained as a volunteer firefighter in Colorado. So please join me as I lift up these incidences. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you knowing that you are the ultimate creator of everything good and bad. And Lord, I ask for, first of all, safety for the men and women who are battling these fires. I ask for wisdom for the leadership who is in charge of running these fires. And I also plead with you, as you are the only one who can control the weather, the wind, and the waves. They listen to you. The heat listens to you. So, Lord, I ask that you will please send cool, still weather to the southern half of Colorado to aid these firefighters in their mission. In your son's name I pray, amen. And thank you to everybody who joins me in praying for this devastating situation. Thank you, have a wonderful day. God bless.
This is Hands to Heaven with an update on my brother-in-law, Mark, who's discovered his sore throat was cancer. Today's July 7th. Yesterday he went for an appointment and they scoped him and they could see the cancer. So today he has an appointment with a radiation oncologist. And on July 9th, he has a PET scan to check to make sure that the cancer has not spread. Then July 13th, he has an appointment with medical oncology. And then on July 15th, he's set up for a biopsy of the cancer and also to have a feeding tube put in. The doctor says that if it has not spread, it is very treatable and curable. That's where we are right now. So right now we're just praying that it has not spread anywhere else. He and my sister are believers and their spirits are doing well right now. They're trusting God with this, but it's a lot to happen in a very short time. So I'd appreciate your prayers for Mark and my sister Mary, his wife, and their daughter and grandson. This is Hands to Heaven. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Heavenly Father, we praise you. We adore you. We come before your presence. Your children, the Debers, the prayer warriors, Father, presenting our brothers and sisters who are in need, healthy-wise and financially, oh God, restoration, their marriages, families. Father, I present Lee Ayana's father, who's 91. Show yourself strong in her life. Give her your peace that surpasses our understanding. We put our trust in you, Lord, because your word says to trust you with all our hearts. And you will direct. You will direct us when we do that, Father. I pray that you help her, that you embrace her with your loving arms and that you help her, dear God, and give her strength, Father, as her father is not feeling well. Dear Lord, put your hands upon him. He was strong. He was strong. But now, since February, he's not the same, Father. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you give him more years for her to enjoy him, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I love you, my sister. God bless you.